Hello, everyone. Welcome to Flow Getter. It's Erica and Lisa, your hosts for every podcast.
Oh no. Hi,
Yay.
Erica.
Hi,
I'm so glad
Lisa.
we're here today. What tell us what we're talking
Same.
about, because you told us before we started and I can't wait. Go.
Okay. So sort of a just an initial idea, but I think we're going to talk today about this idea of awareness and how we can gain more awareness, how we can understand how things work better, maybe. But some of the observations that I've made in this, physical world is that a lot of times, and myself included, we consciously or unconsciously sort of just cut ourselves off from maybe what's important, and we just kind of, or and also, also just like societally, I think society values a certain kind of intelligence. That there are certain types of understanding and knowing in the physical world that are highly valued, and then other kinds of understanding and knowing that aren't as valued are, so that's kind of sort of
Oh, I love
the
it.
first start. Okay, so
I love
thoughts.
it.
You have thoughts. I want to hear
Okay,
all of your thoughts.
I know we're just gonna go back and forth, and this will be so
Okay.
exciting. Okay,
Okay.
so what I heard was that when you're kind of in the matrix or in the world, right? The value of intelligence and sort of making your way through the world, like obviously people who can get a lot of resources, which right now is money. Maybe it used to be chickens thousands of years ago, but now it's cash. And it could be Bitcoin in the future, who knows? But like people who are good resource gatherers, people who understand how to gain power, all that stuff is very valued. And we see that in how culture operates in most cultures, like not all cultures, but many cultures throughout the planet and probably throughout the galaxies, right? And then you're saying, okay, but that there's this whole other, like there's what creates, like there's the world, but then like there's all this other awareness of self, there your emotional life, your consciousness. You don't have to be aware of things beyond the veil, because who the hell can really prove that? But it's like the unintouchedness of this, like your emotional life and all that seems to be why people have problems, even though let's say maybe they're decent or not decent, whatever. In like it's causing problems in the physical world to not be in touch with your inner self. And there's, those different buckets of emotions and consciousness. So that's my takeaway from what you said.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah,
Okay.
absolutely. It's almost like when things can be proven in this physical world and proven, and then people not only know the proof but understand how we got there, like that sort of bucket of knowledge seems to be highly valued. There's in the last, I don't know how many years, maybe a decade or so, there's been this kind of explosion of how important science is. It was probably, I feel like it was Trump who sort of started this. It was this kind of fact, facts and then science. Well, if you can prove it, then it's a fact, and made up facts and misinformation, all this stuff, the blah, blah, blah. So now there's this heavy emphasis on science. Things have to be proven and factual. And it's like, okay. And so it's like, okay, I'm not discounting that, because that is an avenue of knowledge and understanding. That said, I feel like two things. One, the physical proof, the science world, is really no different than the non-physical. It's just the same thing. And I know we've talked about this before, but it's they're just, not only are they parallel, but they're just the same. It's just the physical part is the manifestation of the non-physical. And to your point about the feelings part and the stuff that we can't see, that is, we all have feelings and emotions. Nobody has to prove that. Like, if you feel a certain way, then it is, period. That's how it is. Like, so that sort of knowledge and understanding, like we are born with that. Nobody had to teach us that. In this world, what we decided somewhere along the line, society kind of decided to, like, okay, that's not really that important. which I think you and I are agreeing that that's not only important, but it's almost like the most important.
It is.
Maybe it is the most important, you know?
It is. Like, and I'll tell you why later.
Tell me why. Oh, tell me. I want to know. Tell me why, please.
Well, okay. So we even see this in our cultural stories. And I may have mentioned this in our last podcast. I can't remember. Could have been fake memories. Fake news in my brain. <Fakeness. laughs> But the emotion and consciousness is where the power is. So you've got these people who say, okay, I want science. I want things to be provable. But they believe in Jesus. I'm like, okay, but Jesus's teachings are all about the heart and, in, you know, and if you go more New Age where we are in the consciousness world, the idea is that your emotions are really powerful. Your awareness and consciousness of your perceived truth, because I'm going to just say that, you know, who's gets to be in charge of the truth? Nobody. So your perceived truth, like that's where your power is, right? But everyone's like, no, my power is in my bank account. My power is in my social standing. My power is in my Instagram feed, whatever. Not to discount that reality, because that is a reality a lot of people experience, but it's because you choose to make that true. You can also say that that doesn't matter, because there's infinite examples of success elsewhere. So, and one more point I want to make, because I'm kind of going off the rails a little bit, but culturally, when we watch all of our stories on television, okay, so like Harry Potter, or, you know, huge anything, like movies and stories that people love, that make people feel, they're feeling, they love it so much because they're getting a feeling, but they're getting a feeling because the hero or heroine goes through the heroine's journey, which is how all stories are set up, right? They go through the arc, whatever. There are a few, except for some artsy stuff, that don't really follow that. Like, you know, pain and growth, and then, you know, it's always growth, right? But emotion is what always turns the tide. In any story you see, there's awareness and emotion are what shift the story. Always.
Always.
Prove me wrong. Like, you know, yes. Like, I'm not going to take it anymore. But that's a consciousness. Like, if the person's like, we're not going to allow this to happen, or, you know, these kinds of things. There's an awareness that happens, and there's an emotion. And some of the more beloved stories have a higher level of awareness, and the emotions are love. But sometimes it's awareness of wrongdoing and pure fury, and I'm going to fight back. But people still love those stories. But it's the pairing of those that is the power, and yet we completely brush it to the side. All, you know, got to have all this stuff and got to be fabulous and all the things. Nothing wrong with fabulousness, by the way. But we also don't value the other half of existence at all. So my question to you is, where do people find a way to connect? Because I don't want to be the spiritual people that's like, the real world doesn't count. I'm like, we came here to be in the physical world. Mm-hmm. And we came to kind of put the helmet on and be in the matrix and be like, I believe it. It's so real. Oh my God, my hair looks horrible and I'm bad and my thighs are fat, or whatever people, you know, we go through it for a reason. But the key is to come back out of it. And I think when you see suffering, is people just can't pull themselves back out for a minute and kind of go, okay, getting too wound up about my bank account or whatever, or my insecurities driving all this craziness. So now take us through this, like, how do you connect the major in unscienced yet, yeah. It is not yet scienced. It will be, because it's catching up with all kinds. It can find your chakras now, science, by the way. So that's we're awesome. Almost there. It'll have a consciousness meter. It'll be like, boop, like on Star Trek. But until it's scienced and people can work with it more tangibly, because that's why they want the science. Yet, they'll totally discard it or say it's wrong. Don't get me in the science discussion, because, you know, I love science. Point being is, how do we get more of that and still enjoy, not totally push off because you can go totally the other way and then not really live in the world that you're here. So tell me your thoughts about that, because okay. I think that's the part that everybody struggles with.
You brought up so many awesome points. I want to kind of echo what you said about the movies, and it's funny, because I'm like, I think a lot of us will – go and see the movie and we'll be in it while it's for that 2 hours. And then we'll leave it like, oh, that's just the movie. That's just the theater. That's not real life. And the truth is, like, it is real life. These stories weren't made up from nowhere. And the point I'll make there is I totally, fully, firmly believe that if you can imagine it, it exists, period. Like, there is nothing that's made up. There's nothing that's imagination is not real. It's real. Yeah. It came from somewhere. We're not like, we are all powerful. And that said, we're not like, we don't just create things from nowhere. Everything comes from something. So if I can imagine a unicorn, yeah, maybe I've never seen it in this life, or, you know, or maybe I haven't, I just forgot. I don't know, but it's somewhere, it exists. I 100% fully believe that.
Oh, yeah.
Dragons.
The dimension of unicorns. So awesome. Wish I could go there.
Yeah. Same. One day.
So cool.
One day. But yeah, so there's that. So I think to answer your question, I was thinking, I wonder if it starts with, first of all, those fundamental beliefs of how things are created. Because I think without that, if you don't have that foundation of knowing, not just knowing, but truly embracing how things are created, you can't get to that other awareness. Because you just, if you assume that this life is, you know, oh, that happened to me, or that person did this to me, or yeah, it's all outside of me, like the bank accounts and the relationships and all the stuff that's outside of me is where I put all my power. If that's where it stops for you, then you'll probably get stuck. That's probably where it will stop for you, period.
And where we can help.
Yeah. And where we can help. Exactly. Yes. But if you subscribe to what we subscribe to, and honestly, I'll be honest, like, I don't care whether or not anyone else thinks it's real or true. For me, this works, and that's why I subscribe to it.
Yeah.
And that's what I think, you know, if you're at a point in your life where you're frustrated and you're like, how do I, you know, I don't understand, or what, you know, try something new. Try something, you know, why not? What's it going to hurt? Try believing something else.
Believe something else for a day and see if it, yeah, try it on. It's like wearing different clothes that don't feel so good.
Exactly.
At first, but you might like it and you might go, no, never.
Yeah. Or a new food. It's like, I don't want to try that. Ew. And then you taste it and it's like, wow, that's kind of good. I'm going to have more. Yeah.
Like how you get used to really bitter greens. Like when I'm coaching people from a health perspective, I'm like, I know at first you're like with all the vegetables, but your body will crave it eventually. And that's you'll be like, I love bitter ass flavored food. You
know? Totally. I love so eating fun. Dirt.
Yeah, dirt and bark and
dirt
sticks.
And bark. Yummy.
Delicious. Yeah. So
yeah.
Totally derailing you. Awesome. Okay, keep going.
I love it. It's perfect. This is exactly it. Yeah. So I think, okay, once you subscribe, then you are like, okay, that if you subscribe to what we subscribe to, you're gonna place that as the most important thing, is just questioning. Kind of having that problem solver mentality where it's like you're constantly looking to make your life better instead of
and
just
kind of go like, is this thought working for me?
Yeah.
Like, is this reaction working for me? Is this or response or whatever?
Yeah. And you just, that's a brilliant point, because what you're saying is, if it's not working for me, I have the power to make it different. I'm fully empowered to choose something else that will work, period. And that's where it gets good. It's like, when you know, when you have that awareness that you create everything, you are fully empowered to create whatever it is that you want. That right there is your jumping off point.
Yeah, it is.
And then,
I'll say to myself included, I know I have the choice and all the things, but I'll say it's where I get coaching from other people, where I give coaching to other people, and you do too, where it's like, okay, I know the laws, but I can't get myself to stop doing this thing. And it's like, you know, just helping, getting help on like, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm not doing it. And that little sticky point, it's more nuanced than I think we are going to talk about right now. But I think the point you're making is you have the power, and that takes the conscious awareness to be like, okay, I have the power. I may not be doing anything about it, but I have it. And it just separates you a little bit from the victim, even if you can't change it in that moment. or that year even, you're like, okay, but I do have power.
Great point. That's perfect.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, that was perfect because it brought us back to this, the idea of awareness that like, that's exactly it. It's like, when you know how and why, then yeah, you can have enough awareness to be like, okay, I know how I got here and I know how to get myself out of it. And that's huge. That is, that is like, oh my God.
My story. I had all these poopy thoughts and now I'm here. Okay. So should we change the poopy thoughts? Yeah. Let's do it.
Oh my God. Okay. Sorry. I just had a whole nother.
Keep going.
I just had this whole.
There are no limits. Go.
So I don't know the numbers or statistics and it doesn't matter to me, but this whole idea of autism and speaking of awareness, right? So there's, and I'm not gonna, I think if we talk about autism, when I think of autism, I think of, I don't think of it in any sort of negative way. I actually think it's such a beautiful gift. And I think the thing is like, there are these beings coming into this world who are trying to show us what it means to follow their instinct unabashedly. It's like they, it's more difficult to train them out of this natural instinct to kind of do or say or be however they naturally are.
Yeah.
And so to fix this problem is not that, no, that's not a problem. It's like, how about we look at this as, I kind of look at my brother as the same way. And speaking of different types of awareness. So there are very clear conscious types of awareness, which you and I think we've been talking about to this point. There are unconscious types of awareness that I see when people like my brother, who for, you know, anybody who doesn't know, I'm his caregiver. He's a person with Down syndrome. And he has a certain innate awareness and understanding that is so off the charts that is like, oh my God, I need to be like that. Like he walks around and doesn't seem to even care or even be aware, but in a great way of what other people may think or feel. And not only that, but like he gets so much awesome feedback from the world because it's more celebrated now. Whereas like when I was a kid, I was so horrified that I was his sister, you know, I was like embarrassed by him and all sorts of horrible things that I am ashamed to admit, but I was.
Different culture.
Different culture, totally.
Conditioned. You were conditioned. You were.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And plus like just, I think siblings in general embarrass each other. So.
You do. You're breathing. You're embarrassing me. Yeah.
Stop. Don't look at breathing.
Yeah. You not exist for like 5 years. That'd be great.
But like so when we talk about awareness, there is, you know, going back to the autism, because I find this one fascinating because I feel like, and of course there are all sorts of, I mean, diagnosing is a weird thing to me because it's like, now you're putting people in a box. Yeah. Well, I can go off on tangent. I won't do that. But anyway, let's stick to this autism topic, but just because we're talking about awareness, but I've met more and more people in the last even 10 years who may or may not from what I understand in the medical field, may or may not be undiagnosed autistic based on, you know, if they were to go in and get evaluated or something. I even look at myself sometimes. I'm like, I'm probably on that spectrum.
Like, everybody's on the spectrum.
Everybody's on the spectrum. And so, and it's so, I'm just like, it is such a beautiful thing to see someone live more purely and truly and almost have a harder time stuffing the pure and true parts of themselves that sometimes society asks them to stuff. It's like more challenging. I'm like, yes, you be you. You be you and you teach us. You tell us what's right, you know?
Yeah.
So there's
good
that awareness.
For observing the beauty that's in there because that's not a majority cultural view. I think people maybe outwardly think it, but then inside they're like, well, I'm glad that's not my kid or whatever, you know, like, and I would say that is more challenging. I know trying to fit into the society with something that doesn't fit perfectly can be super challenging. So how, sorry, you were going, I interrupted.
No, I could babble all day about okay. that, but you're right.
Well, I think one of the questions back was, we were talking about like how we can get more aware of like using our intuition awareness, conscious awareness, and emotional selves to make our, I keep saying matrix self because I don't know if it has a negative connotation, but our fourth dimension space and time, like I'm just believing everything, it feels really real, I'm totally in it, you know, totally in the virtual reality goodness, which we came on purpose for. You know, it's why we like, you know, Eckhart Tolle and all, you know, all these great people, is they're sort of helping us bring more of that awareness to things. And I think there's a lot of things we can do to gain that awareness. And I think one of the most simple things is like journaling. I think if we can ask ourselves the right questions, not just for, you know, vent, but I've developed the right, I feel like good questions are really important. And so I've developed questions that get me to better consciousness without invalidating my feelings.
Nice.
Because I think that's a part of like the consciousness and the awareness and the feelings are intertwined. And you can't be just like, I just need to be aware. Because I'm like, we would all just be that if we didn't have emotions.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but my emotions are fear, insecurity, concern, confusion, but you know, like if you have these emotions that are less blissful, because it feels easier when you're in a great mood to be more conscious, right? But mm-hmm. when you're not, like that consciousness seems to go away. So how, for me, working on, you know, sort of guides and methods that help me work through my emotions and my awareness at the same time, so that I can get to a place of higher awareness, more inner peace. And in a lot of, sometimes the action steps come out, but I think a lot of times just shifting your consciousness is enough to have the inspired next action kind of magnetized to you, because you've said, I'm going to participate in my growth. So you're sitting down, you're doing but something that works in terms of marrying the consciousness and emotions together. And then you've released something. Consciousness is you. It's not this separate source is just waiting, sitting here. It's in every cell. It's in every, you are it. It is you. But, and so I think when you act, I think the price for receiving and relaxing is awareness. Because you're like, oh, I'm seeing this, and oh, okay, and it shifts just enough. So then you wake up the next day and something pops into your reality that either inspires you to take action, or an idea comes, or something manifests that you're like, oh, wow, I didn't realize that was going to be so easy, or, you know, so things shift. But I think the way you get there is by working with your awareness and your emotions. Somehow I have my method, and you know, everyone has their own way, or they don't. And that's why they're still stuck, because we're all going to get stuck is you have a way to unstick.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
This is so great. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm having a
hard time. I had a few things.
For those of you out there, it's so if you see me having that glow, that's what that is. Okay.
That's fantastic.
Continue.
This is so great, because I had several things. Okay. And I'm just going to them out, so don't forget.
One is
can we kind of dig a little bit into what awareness, okay, that's one thing, like what mm-hmm. does that, where awareness of what, fill in the blank. Okay, second is I Eckhart Tolle,
I'm gonna write it down.
Oh, thank
okay,
you,
keep going. Yeah,
okay, second thing is Eckhart Tolle, and his he was the one who kind of brought this idea of kind of removing yourself, being the objective observer of your own life, mm-hmm. sort of taking yourself out of yourself and just watching, and just this idea of non-attachment, which then leads to unconditional love. They're all kind of the same thing to me, in the sense of Okay, so if the goal is to feel good, like which is my goal, like that's kind of okay. That's my number one thing is I just want to feel good. And it doesn't matter how I get there. Then what I've noticed more and more in little bits, is that this idea of non-attachment, which is a whole, that's huge. I think you just said the word stuck. And I was like, oh yeah, stuck is like the opposite of non-attachment, kind of where we are attached to an idea or a thought or a thing outside of ourselves. And we want it to be the way that we want it to be. And when it's not, it's very disappointing.
Yeah.
And so non-attachment is so freeing where you can, even to the extent to which, and this is like the ultimate exercise in non-attachment, which I don't know anyone who I'm sure there's one or two people in the world that can do this, but like even in death, let's say your closest person dies and goes, or even if they don't, you separate for whatever reason, that relationship is done. Getting to a place where the expectation that that relationship is going to be what it's been forever, just kind of knowing, hey, this could be the last time, and not like ruminating over it and then getting sad about it. More like, hey, it's more about valuing the experience over the thing that you want to last. Like,
yeah,
I had this experience. It could be, you know, and I'm valuing that, and I'll forever have that, you know, even if I forget about it, that whatever wisdom I needed to gain is taking effect now in my body. Even if I consciously forget about that experience, or like in the instance of Alzheimer's, even if I forget all the things, there is a certain now level of awareness that I have that's different and can't maybe be defined, but by our standards. But in any case, I'm kind of going off on a tangent, but these are just the thoughts I had.
Okay. What was the third one? You said there were three.
Were there three? I know. It's like,
damn it.
Oh, it was the first one.
Shoot. I got the first one. Yeah, okay. I got the second.
Second one was Eckhart Tolle, and the third one was, I kind of bounced into the idea of non-attachment, unstuck, unconditional love, kind of like all of those things, like kind of being the same, like unconditional is non-attachment. Unconditional equals no conditions.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Like it's the same thing. Like when you can truly live a life where you are not, you're not tied to anything. What can you imagine in living a life where you have zero expectations of what things are supposed to look like? You are living every moment in that sort of surprise and delight. Like just everything is just kind of fun and new and delightful. It's like a child. If you redirect their attention, it's the thing that they were stuck on is completely gone. They might have a little 50 or 30 second temper tantrum about something because they're stuck. And then you're like, oh, look at, shake the shiny thing over here. And they look, oh, now life is great again. And the thing is done. You know, so.
Yeah. Well, and I think that my interpretation of why we adult and move from that. I'm burping. So we can be better at, like, it gets higher and higher tests, right? Oh, now you've lived more life and you've sifted and sorted and you know what you like and prefer. So you get more attached to it because you know what you want. You know who you are. You know what your vision is. It's good to create a vision for your life. It's good to try to execute on that vision. And then now you're a PhD level of like, can you be not attached to it and enjoy it at the same time?
So, right? Okay. Yes. So,
probably why.
That's probably why. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, keep going.
I was going to say, okay. And the question I have for you is, okay, so, in an ideal world, I want to only be attached to good feeling, not to the thing that's going to bring me the good feeling. So like, you're right. Like you kind of sift and sort.
Thank you for discerning that. Say that again. You want to attach to the good feeling
versus
the
thing that's going to bring the good. Right.
There
because
you go.
Okay. You're right. Because there are certain preferences that we have in life, which could change and may not change. Even if you are really into this one thing your entire life, that's okay. But don't get attached to that thing. Get attached to how it makes you feel.
Yeah.
Because if that thing goes away.
this would lead me to the sort of emotion part of the whole thing, which is how people, and I know we've talked about this before, and it's seven podcasts in and of itself, is how, you know, the whole, how do I feel good just because,
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
There are infinite spiritual teachers working on that. So I don't know that we can cover it, but I think that's a bit, it's what you were just saying about the unconditional feeling of, I'm just going to be happy. I don't care what's happening around me.
That's right.
And when you decide that consciously with consciousness awareness, it's so much easier to do it. It does not happen by default. And I think people want, you know, if I just do this and this, then that will just happen by default. I'm like, it's going to happen more frequently the more you do it, but you're always going to run into those places you have to choose it.
Yes. Yes.
Where you go, no, I'm going to be happy. I don't care if I have 85 emails in my inbox that I don't want to deal with.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose happiness right now or whatever. Do you see the evil eye I gave the emails? The imaginary evil. I'm like, they're so bad.
And the truth is, you're right. Like there is going to be, I kind of look at kind of like the number pi or, well, no, that's not bad. Like the stock, I always go to the stock market, like the image I see, the stock market, where, yeah, like the little blips that go down are those moments that you were just talking about where we're always going to be at some point pushed into a corner where we have to choose the happiness. It's not just going to, but as you continue to practice it, the trajectory is upward and those blips will be smaller and smaller where, and maybe they'll be further set apart.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah. So because the more we practice feeling good, the more things we're going to enter into our lives to feel good about.
Okay. So kind of staying with the theme of the emotions and awareness, I think the feeling good helps you stay in more awareness or having a commitment to going, okay, when I get up today, my whole goal isn't to achieve A, B, and C. My goal is to feel good as many moments as I can feel good, no matter how much work crap comes at me, like whatever it is, traffic, you know, things that set people off. And I think what that does, and I'm bringing it back around to something you'd said, which it seems to basically go, if you're making the choice to feel good, you're already in an awareness state of like, I am a being and I'm observing, my higher self is observing my other self. And God, we'll talk about what the hell that means later. But it's like you're in an awareness state of consciousness at that point, and then you're making a choice. And then if you're feeling good more of the time, you're going to have more states of staying open and not closing down and getting afraid and blah, blah, which is going to bring your awareness farther away from you because your fear starts to rise. And that seems to chase off conscious awareness a lot. They're not mutually exclusive, because you were saying awareness of what before. That was one of your first things. So yes. I wanted to have you dig into that a little bit more, but I was like, let's bring it this way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's yes. Well, so I just had awareness of, and this kind of goes into sort of the non-judgmental piece that we've kind of touched on a little bit. But going back to the Eckhart Tolle thing, where you kind of step outside of yourself and just observe lovingly, unconditional love, just watching what's happening.
Because watching the crazy person you're being.
watching whatever's happening, not judging it. And with an understanding of, okay, because there are many times when we need to go certain avenues. And we've talked about this too, where like, if we're seeing the same thing over and over, getting the same results, and we're feeling the same way over and over, and then we don't like it, maybe there's something dare to deep in there. Maybe that is it's tugging at us saying, mommy, mommy, or daddy, daddy, look at me. I need attention. Okay. So there's that. There's also just kind of habits that we form around certain things. We've just felt a certain way for a long time and we don't even know really much outside of that because we've just been there the whole time. So that awareness, understanding there's more, there's always more, by the way, there's always more. So the most joy that you've ever felt, there's no cap on that. Kind of like the idea of love.
So cool?
It's so cool. And it's like, you know, same with like love, you know, I way back in the day, pre-Tanner, pre-you, Lisa, for whatever reason, I know why now, but like, I just kind of walked around life believing there was a cap on the amount of love I could share with people. So like I kind of limited my relationships. I limited certain, you know, even interactions within each individual relationship. I limited my time, you know, believing that I didn't have an unlimited amount of love to share, which I didn't know. I mean, I genuinely didn't know. So that's kind of scary. But also knowing that that's where I was, I understand that there must be other people out there who feel that way.
Yeah.
Or who have that belief. So there was just a lack of awareness on my part. And so now I feel like I'm very aware of this idea that this entire existence that we have right now is built on unconditional love. Like it was built with that foundation. And so there is no lack. If there's any lack of anything, it's everything else but that. Do you know what I mean?
Oh like my that's, God. Say it again. Like, I love it. Cause I okay. think that's super huge. It's almost like it went past me. I was like, that was really good. But like, what?
So I believe at the core of who we are is unconditional love. At the core of what everything is, it was all this entire existence that we're experiencing, this entire reality that we're experiencing was built from unconditional love. And I say this, and I will point out, look at any religion. That's like the core of that. That's kind of where it starts.
Yes. Every and then religion, they ironically go the other way, but
totally. Yeah. Exactly. They ironically go the other way. But like, if you just close your eyes, even if that's that I think we can all agree on, even in my like holding back of love, I knew, I think unconsciously, I knew that that's where everything started. So that's where everything starts. And that is the only thing. If all the resources in the world ran out, that won't, like that can't, it just can't. Otherwise we would all cease to exist.
Yes. So, we're powered by unconditional love.
Yes. So knowing that, okay. So that is a level of awareness that I feel like, okay, if you can get on board with that, like, anyone can get on board with that, then I think that everything else kind of can go out from there. Like you can get on board with the idea of prioritizing how you feel first. And then there's that awareness. You can get on board with the idea that you are fully empowered to create whatever you want. And you can have that awareness. You can get on board with literally everything that's good, because good equals love. I mean, there's like good equals love, love equals good, period.
Oh my God. I love how you've tied all those together. Because we're like, oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. And you're like, no, the foundation is goodness.
Yes. Foundation is goodness.
The foundation is love. So
unconditional goodness.
Then we ask ourselves, and this would be something that I would do journaling. Why am I resisting? Like, why am I resisting the feeling, this belief that could make me feel better?
Ooh.
Okay. Isn't that a good one? Right. So that's you just great. Write that at the top of your page and you sit there and you go, okay, now you turn back into you and you go, well, because, and then other you goes, okay, what's the theme here? And then you ask another other question. Then, you know, there's two of you in there.
You and other you.
Yeah, there's other you seems to be the smart one.
O equals other and observer.
Yeah, observer and O, like the oneness and
yes,
allness.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, I think the allness you is like the one that's trying to help you just deal. So yeah, it's a good place to start. But yeah, kind of back to your whole brilliance, there was this foundation of goodness and tie everything. Why are your beliefs not tied back to that? And that's huge, because you're like, well, because I was conditioned to believe, you know, like you start to realize how ridiculous it is that it's not tied to that, or that's, then you have to sort of logically conclude that you don't believe that the universe is inherently peace, goodness, love, whatever name you want to give it. Okay, that's something to look at, because I'm not saying you have to believe that, but if you don't, if you do think it's half evil, half good, I'm not saying that's not a function of our world, because I think that's why we came here, is for that duality. But inherently underneath that, the underpinning of allness, it's all good. If you don't believe that, one, why are you listening to this podcast? I'm just kidding. No, but in all seriousness, it's you do have to look at that because like, I thought I believed that, but I guess I don't, because I'm still believing this duality because I've been conditioned to, because I'm in this time-space reality. So I think that's good for even the podcaster to look at and go, okay, I say I believe it, but do I really? Because I have all these other beliefs that I want to change, but then they don't point back to the, so I'm like, so it makes you have to like, it really upsets your belief systems because they're all certain, you see all the conflicts and all the stuff, which I think is great. And that's a level of awareness
yes.
that you can give yourself to kind of go, wow, I have incongruency. And when you have incongruent values and thoughts and beliefs and all that stuff, that's what's creating stress in your life. Not the only thing. But once you sort that out a bit, things become smoother because not everything is clashing with itself. And then it leads to all that confusion of, should I believe this? Should I believe that? And I'm going to believe what they say on the internet. And it's like, okay, step back, grab your journal, head out with a pen and go, you know, for that kind of stuff. So that's huge brilliance that you've brought to us, because now my brain is going,
well, what's great, what you just brought up too, for me is kind of this idea of digging a little deeper. I do think, I mean, it's nice and fun to say, oh, it's just as easy as this, you know, just feel good, go out and feel good. It's just that easy. Well, we know it's not for most people. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of just not for most people. And I can, when I look at my own kind of like where I started and like the memories that I have and how I got to where I am in this moment, I know why I was withholding love. I know why that all started like out of the womb. I came in with this thing that I believe I had to address. And it took me 40 plus years to really kind of wrap my head around it more. You know, I know it's a never ending journey and I'm excited about that, but I also realized, okay, so I was withholding love because I felt that love was being withheld from me in a very young age, in a very unconscious way, not understanding that, you know, that's what I learned. And in any case that I say that because the awareness that I gained from knowing kind of where and how it started,
yeah,
like pushed me into a whole nother sphere of living a happy life. You know, I thought, oh, I'm happier than I've ever been before. But again, that unconditional love equals unconditional happy, or sorry, infinite love equals infinite happiness, which equals there's always more to have. So yeah, that level of awareness of understanding where it came from pushed me into a whole higher level. And the reason I say that is because I do think that, to your point about, we came here for a reason, came here for probably many reasons, but I do think the human experience is unique in that we get to kind of sort out shitty stuff and make it and understand that it's not shitty. Like it feels shitty. And then we're like, yeah, oh, but then it pushed me into this whole awesome way of living. So
shitty
that actually
was helpful.
Shitty yeah. was helpful. So it's like, I think it is up to us to I'm going to go back. You're like my reason for, probably now that I think, my reason for wanting to talk about this is because you are someone who will never, ever stop wanting to gain more and more levels of awareness. And I think everyone should be like that. That is a quality that I probably, of all the qualities that I love in a human being, it's right there at the top. Because it means that you are embracing this human experience to its fullest. And you want to know, you want to understand, you want to be better. There's never an end to being awesome. You just continue to prove that to me. So thank you.
Well, you can thank my birth chart and my numerology for that. No.
Well, you made that choice.
All these planets in the 12th house, so that's what happens. No, but I think it's more, I don't know if I was always that way, but I like that I've developed into that person. There was always that. I could tell there was always something there. But even when I was 9, my mother would look at me and like, what is your deal? Dig through it all.
Yes.
But I think what I think is important is that we all have that beacon in us, and some of us are choosing life lifetimes that we'd be like, yeah, that's good, but I'm gonna just, this is a full data gathering mission. I'm not gonna worry about the evolution thing. Or it's a subtle shifts and stuff. I mean, there's 8 billion people on this planet. That means there's 8 billion journeys just in this dimension. And then we have infinite dimensions, not to mention all the galaxies and all the beings on those galaxies, not to mention all the beings on this earth that aren't
human
like mm-hmm. dogs, cats, pigs, yep. you know, sentient livestock that we eat. I'm not eating them right now. Happy to say, although I have eaten them in the past, probably will eat them. But I don't eat them at this time. But, you know, all those experiences are all filtering into the oneness and expanding the consciousness. And maybe the bigger question is, why? And my answer is always, because.
That's a perfect
like, if
answer.
You're infinite allness, I'm just being all the things at all the time and growing and growing and growing into infiniteness because I'm infinity or whatever.
Yes.
And I'm personalizing that because there's no way to ever know what is truly behind everything unless you are it, but you are it. So technically you can know.
Again, if you can imagine it, it
we're
exists.
The microcosm.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah. But whatever good story works for you. But the point is why we have this podcast when we're here is we all chose to come into this. I say fourth dimension because it's three dimensions plus time, four dimensions.
Moving into
this
the
is how
fifth
I
dimension.
I'm like, okay, could have done that, but okay. So math and I don't necessarily work well together. But the idea, you know, sort of tying, I don't want to have to end it, but tying back to our awareness and emotions thing is we came here for the fun. And the shitty stuff is helpful. And so how do we use shitty stuff, awareness, and emotions to enrich our experience here? So when you're having tough times, they're not just that sucked and I move on, which is okay sometimes. But the idea is that you grow from it, mm-hmm. you expand your awareness, and your emotional self is you feel... I want to say more meaning and purpose, but not in a cultural, it has to have all this meaning and it means this and whatever, but just a sense of alignment with your true self. And I think there's an emotion there that I'm going to call peace. Like your life can be really tumultuous, but there can be a sense of knowing who you really are that gives you an inner peace, which is what you were talking about earlier, is like you hook into that and not the, okay, everything out here, I'm the queen of, you know, I want my house to, you know, all the surfaces have to be picked up and I don't like, you know, da, da. I need everything to be calm. All my emails have to be, or, you know, da, da, da. And then I realize that that just gets blown up every 5 seconds. And I'm like, well, how's that working for you? But that's what we're all trying to do is calm the ocean mm-hmm. instead of calm
the
inside.
Wave.
It's like calm everybody else, calm everything else. And I think what we're trying to do here at Flowgetter is help ourselves and everybody listening to us and extend our wisdom to help that inner joy, inner peace, inner everything, help us hook back into that and that inner knowing, you know, trusting yourself, connecting to all that is and that stuff. And so that's why these podcasts exist. And I think the keeping in mind the awareness and the emotion pieces of what you're trying to do. And we're, you know, developing tools to help that make that easier for people, which you can find on our website. But for now, we want to know also like how you, the audience, are dealing with sort of your levels of awareness and your emotions and how those fit together for you. Because I think it's a clear picture for us how that works, but I'm, you know, we're always loving questions and different perspectives for us to talk about. So any more thoughts? Because I mean, hours of this.
Hours.
I just like my face. This is, I think, the essence of Flowgetter is these pieces because we love emotion so much. We love conscious awareness. And then all of that leads to manifesting. But it's not the manifesting of like, you can do the visualization and all that stuff. And that's awesome. And we teach that and we like that. But there's even deeper, more powerful ways to do no work
Yes.
Because if you're working on the inner pieces, the outer stuff, you don't have to visualize anything. It just goes, what?
Exactly.
It just comes to you. Yeah. So that's my soapbox. Erica, deep thoughts.
I love it. No, yeah. you totally summed it up beautifully. And the only thing I'll echo, because you've said it, is so yeah, awareness and emotion, maybe that is where people start, is becoming more emotionally aware. Maybe that is the starting point. If you don't know where to go, like what does even awareness mean? What do I need to focus on? What do I need to be aware of? Well, I think if you start with how you're feeling and become really, really in touch with how you feel, that will put you on the right path, because you can tie everything back to how you feel. Kind of almost like working backward, where, oh, I manifested this terrible thing. How did I get here? Okay, well, how have you been feeling? Like, have you been feeling anxious? Like, pretty much most of the time, are you creating scenarios in your life where you're just getting more things to feel anxious about? I did that for years, literally years. I just was kind of going unconscious, but everything that my entire outside world was just like more to be stressed about, you know? And when I finally just decided to choose peace consciously, and literally, I will say, when I consciously decided to choose it, and my energy was behind completely choosing it and throwing my whole self into it, I did make changes in the physical world that helped support that. So just one other thing is, like, you know, because I know you and I have talked about this idea of having the energy behind something before, actually.
It's fundamental. You know,
yes. Mm-hmm. So I remember that, and it was a relationship that I was in that there was just nothing but stress and that nonstop. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to do this anymore. I choose peace. And my entire being was like, please choose peace. Please choose peace. And so I physically picked myself up and removed myself from that situation and moved into a whole different house and environment, and peace came with me. And then I started manifesting more things to feel peaceful about. And now it was over the course of time, but point being, like, if you start with emotional awareness, I just decided to hit the autopilot button and just be like, I'm just going to live in this crazy for many years. And the minute I woke up and was like, I'm not doing this, I'm going to consciously choose something else, because I had been pushed, I feel like, into that space, but I knew enough about how all this works to know that I could have made that choice. And that's kind of where what we're saying is, understand enough to know that, prioritize how you feel, prioritize, you know, awareness, prioritize, you know, choose to believe these sets of beliefs in order to get, you know, there. Understand that love is the base, under like all these things that we've been talking about. Know all this stuff, because then you're totally set up, you're totally empowered to choose happy and choose good and choose peace, because peace is alignment. That's kind of the core. Like, love is just a peaceful word. I think we all just kind of
The word peace, though, just goes.
Yeah,
love can have a little bit of.
That's true. Many meanings
go crazy. Yeah,
that's true. That's
okay, true. Anyway, first of all, I love that you went into really tactical, like, or grounding us in what's next steps, right? So tell me again. Like, the emotional awareness.
Start with this, yes.
Yeah, say it again, because I think we all need to hear it twice.
Okay.
I know I do.
So, so I would say, if you're not sure where to start, start with becoming more emotionally aware.
Okay.
Understanding where you are emotionally. Like, just like kind of do that O thing where you observer, take yourself out, watch yourself in your normal daily life, and decide to feel into what you're feeling in every moment, as many moments as possible, because then you'll know where you are. Then when you know where you are emotionally, you'll understand how you have created what you've created, whether it feels great, whether it feels crummy, or somewhere in between. You'll know how you got there, because you will have understood the emotional journey you've been on for however long you've been on it. That's when you can make the conscious choice to say, okay, I'm going to do things differently, and I'm going to choose this feeling. And because I know where I came from, now I know what direction I can go. I can turn here, I can turn there, whatever. So it becomes so much easier when you know where you've been and when you know where you are. Then you know where you can go. You don't know where you can go and you don't know where you've come from. I don't think.
You're so brilliant. Oh, thank you. It was like a bubble bath of perfection. Really. I mean, it was. And I hope anyone listening totally got that amazingness, because that was so good. Like, real.
You bring it out in me, I'll tell you.
You do really good with the nuances in the steps. And we both do.
You do.
That was,
yeah,
was
you
specific,
do.
That was specifically awesome. So thank you. The whole thing was, this was so good. Do you you want to give us our sign off today?
All right. I open and close. Oh my gosh, but you're so much better at this. Okay, I'll try.
Let's you do are... it together.
Okay.
Oh my God.
I like filling your sentences.
We're like, well, thank you for joining us on.
Look at her.
And we're so excited you're here with us today. Oh my God. No, in truth, yeah, we're getting silly now. We've obviously gotten punchy from talking, but everybody, thank you so much for listening today, Erica. You're a brilliant, beautiful goddess of light. Thank you for sharing your wisdom today. And
ditto, really, right back at you.
Ditto. Yeah, it's the greatness. Everyone, go to flowgetter.com to check out all the stuff. You know, and we'd love the likes and subscribes, because it helps other people find us. So that's great. And of course, as always, leave comments and questions. We love the questions so much. Okay. Until next time, we love you guys. Bye.
Bye.